أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فقال يا بني لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة وما أغني عنكم من الله من شيء إن الحكم إلا لله عليه توكلت وعليه فليتوكل المتوكلون صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Most respected elders and brothers, those of our mothers and sisters who may be listening or streaming, in these verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the incident in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. We know that the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is regarded as the best of stories, Ahsan al-Qasas, the best of stories. But in the story there are many, many lessons that we can learn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the various lessons that will be relevant for the guidance of mankind till the day of judgment, till the day of Qiyamah. So these incidents and these stories are not merely stories, but rather they are asbaq and they are lessons that we can implement in our lives in the incident of the story. We know the story, we don't have the time to go into the entire detail of the story. But the point in the story came where Allah Ta'ala had blessed Yusuf alayhi salam now with rulership, with control over the finances of the public treasury. According to some mufassirin, he was the minister of finance at the time. He had control over the grains, then from different parts of the land to take and to purchase their share of grain. What had happened was, Yaqub alayhi salam, the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, had also sent his sons to go and get their share of grain for the entire family. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the advices that he had given his son, or had given his 10 sons. He said, "Oh my sons, when you're entering this city of Egypt, when you are entering the gates of this particular city, then do not enter from one door. لا تدخلوا من باب واحد. But rather enter from a variety of doors. Disperse yourself. Some enter from here, others enter from there, and others enter from there. Mufassirin explain that the wisdom behind this advice of Yaqub alayhi salam was that he didn't want too much of attention being drawn onto his sons. It is mentioned by Mufassirin that just as Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala had blessed him with beauty, he was extremely handsome. In some riwayat it is mentioned that half the beauty of this world was given to Yusuf alayhi salam. And you know the incident of the woman who, when they saw Yusuf alayhi salam, that they cut their fingers. They were mesmerized by his beauty. So similarly, the brothers also, Allah had blessed them with a level of attraction and beauty. And so Yaqub alayhi salam feared that if the sons all entered together, they would become a major force of attraction. It's mentioned in the hadith, al-aynu haqq, that the gaze of admiration, that nazar that we hear of, people say nazar. So you get good nazar also. So that nazar, that gaze of admiration, it is true, it is a reality, it has an effect. That is why Hadith Sharif mentioned that if you see something, even if it's your own child, or it's your own vehicle, or it's your own cell phone, or it's your, and you're admiring it, then always say, MashaAllah. MashaAllah la quwwata illa billah. That cuts off that excessive admiration. So, there is an incident that happened in India where there was a poetry competition that was taking place. And everyone was standing up and reciting their, each one had a turn, they were standing up and reciting their couplets of poetry. Young boy, he stood up and he recited such amazing couplets of poetry that the entire crowd was mesmerized. They were astounded. It is mentioned that very night, this youngster had severe fever and he passed away. So there is an effect that happens. So similarly, Yaqub alayhi salam, he advised his son that do not enter from one door altogether, because you are going to attract a lot of attention. Today we find to people, they put so much of emphasis on the external of the homes. They beautify the home so much externally that even if a person is driving past and he doesn't want to look at the home, then too he'll look. Then too he'll look at the home. And this is the hikmah why also Shariat has made it such that the women folk, when they going out, they should dress in a more simple manner. Like how you keep the house outside more simple, but the beauty is inside the home. It is kept within the home. All your chandeliers and your beautiful buttons and tiles and, you know, whatever interior decorating you want to do, do it on the inside. But now the person is doing it on the outside, he's attracting a lot of attention on that home. The eye of those who are jealous. And the criminals, they will say to themselves, if the outside of the house is so elaborate, and it's so exciting, and it's so expensive, one can imagine what's inside. This is the house we need to rob. Here's where we're going to find some treasures. It's probably got a safe in every room. So what happened is we put so much of beauty on the outside of the home that we attracted the attention of not only those who are going to admire, and it's not only going to increase the jealousy of those who are jealous, but even those who are criminals will say that, you know what, this is the next one on our list. We've got a whole list of homes that we're going to be targeting. So we need to see in our schedule, some of them got schedules, that on our schedule, like how everybody's busy, people have to make appointments. So they also have a schedule when they're going to hit which house at which point. So we need to put this also on our list of things to do. So because we made the house so elaborate on the outside, so we attracted now attention on the inside. Similarly, when it comes to our vehicles, when it comes to our clothing, and especially the women folk. Now the person, that lady dressed so elaborately on the outside, and she's going out, and everybody is looking at her, it is now attracting the attention of the people outside, those who are jealous, those whose hearts are diseased and polluted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So the advice of Yaqub alayhi salam was relevant, it was appropriate, he understood the nature of man, he was a Nabi of Allah. So he advised his sons that, لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِن بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ. that when you're entering this city, then enter the gates in a dispersed manner. Do not attract too much attention towards yourself. وَدْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَةٍ. We want you to enter into different doors. So now they see two people, one. But can you imagine now, 11 brothers or 10 brothers walking together through that door, and all of them, mashallah, as we had mentioned, that Allah had blessed them also with beauty. It's going to attract a lot of attention onto these people. So his advice was, rather disperse yourself and enter through a variety of doors. From this verse of the Quran Sharif, we learn some lessons. The first lesson is that the reality is that al-ayn haq, that the evil eye does have an effect. Allah Ta'ala has placed it that it has an effect. Hence again the advice that we have mentioned. A person sees something that he admires, whether it's somebody else's vehicle, somebody else's shoes, somebody else's cell phone, your own home, your own children, something that you achieved, that always say, MashaAllah la quwwata illa billah. This, according to the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, cuts the effect of that excessive admiration. And the other lesson that we learn is a lesson that we should adopt whatever means is within our capacity. Whatever means is within our capacity, we should adopt it. So here we find that Yaqub alayhi salam feared that there could be excessive admiration on his children. So he adopted a means to try and mitigate that risk, to try his best to eliminate that risk. A person fears that in his street there is a imminent risk, that there may be some unrest. So he takes the necessary steps to try and mitigate that risk. Perhaps he installs some bodiless beams, or he puts some electric fencing, or he hires a guard, or he gets the residents to get together and decide that, listen, in this particular street, we have got a fear that there's a possibility that there may be some intruders coming. This weekend here we heard, we got some inside information, that's why we're hiring a guard to look after the street. So they took some steps in order to gain some form of protection. This is completely permissible in Sharia, adopting some means to protect oneself. A Nabi of Allah did the same. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. But then subhanallah, the lesson thereafter. And then he advises his sons, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That even though I am asking you to do this, I cannot protect you from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befalling you. I have advised you to adopt some means of protection. But this means of protection that I'm advising you to adopt, if Allah Ta'ala wants it, that even though a means of protection has been adopted, you must still be afflicted by that which we're trying to protect you from. We cannot stop that. وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Command comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Allah Ta'ala is the one. When Allah Ta'ala instructs that something must happen, you can have layers of security, it will still happen. And we've seen it. Person has got an armed guard, he's got security system, he's got camera system, he's got that, he's got this. But you find still the person somehow or the other. The point where he would never have thought he would have gotten robbed, but he gets robbed. The person has all the layers of security, but still something goes wrong. The person takes all the medication necessary. He takes a booster shot, he takes this, he's eating healthy, he's exercising, he's keeping himself fit, he's doing whatever is within his means. Whatever his doctor has advised him to do, so he does that. But yet, despite all of that, the person still falls ill. Allah Ta'ala's command was that the person must fall ill, so he fell ill. So we need to be very careful. So it doesn't mean that despite the fact that all of these things can happen to us, so we should not adopt the means. Now if a person says, but Maulana, what's the point of locking the car? Because if your car is meant to get stolen, it's meant to get stolen, so it's finished. Everything will happen with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the sunnah of Anbiya. This is not the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. The sunnah of the Anbiya and the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. is to adopt whatever means it within our capacity. But our trust will always be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam then says to his sons, that I have placed my trust only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here is a Nabi of Allah. A Nabi of Allah is ma'soom, he is sinless. He has adopted some means of protection. But yet he says, I have placed my trust on Allah alone. The lesson we learn, respected elders and brothers, that if somebody uses some means of protection, in whichever way it may be, the person has got a business, he hires a lawyer to make sure that, you know, should there be any legal aspect or anybody taking out some legal action against his business or against the product that he is producing, that, you know, the product is being used out of our control, so we need to have some legal protection. So he hires a lawyer to make sure that there's some, that all the legal loopholes have been covered. He's protected his business legally. So we will say that this is completely permissible. In fact, this is the sunnah of Anbiya. And this is definitely not against trust and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that a person has adopted some means of protection, then he has, his tawakkul in Allah is weak. Because if that was the case, then na'udhu billahi min dhalik, it means that Yaqub alayhi salam's trust in Allah was weak since he adopted some means of protecting his children. He said, alayhi tawakkaltu. It is only upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I place my trust. So it means, respected elders and brothers, that when we are adopting whatever means it may be, whether it is a person who has put some tracking system in his vehicle, or the person has got some electric fence, or the person has got an armed guard, or the person has taken some vaccine, or he's taken some medication, or some booster shots, or the person is wearing a mask, or the person is doing whatever it may be to protect himself in whichever field it may be. Then, respected elders and brothers, we cannot say that this person's trust and tawakkul in Allah is weak so long as he does not regard that means of protection as beyond the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Yaqub alayhi salam clarified this fact, that look, I can do whatever is within my capacity, but it can never ever prevent the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from falling. If Allah ta'ala wants this vehicle to be stolen, I can have the best tracking system in the world. I can have the most elaborate security system in the world. But if Allah's command is that this vehicle must be stolen, I can never ever stop this. And I can never ever stop the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala falling. وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises in the Quran Sharif that it is only upon Allah that those who have got tawakkul should place their trust in. In other words, a person will adopt whatever means it within his capacity. But at the back of his mind, he must keep on reminding himself that it is only Allah who can now protect me. Allah, I have done whatever is within my capacity. Whatever is within my capacity, I have done. But my trust is in you only. And my trust is in you only. Nothing besides you. And I am following the sunnah of the Anbiya in adopting whatever means is within my capacity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this quality of tawakkul, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem Sassam said in one hadith sharif, لَوْأَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ That if you had to really trust in Allah in the manner that he should be trusted. And again, we've explained to you what is tawakkul in Allah. That the person adopts whatever means he has in his business. This is just a means. I am just using whatever is within my means, but oh Allah, you are the one who will send the customers. You are the one who will grant protection. You are the one. So he keeps on reminding himself that everything is will only happen with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if you have to trust in Allah in the manner that he should be trusted, Allah will provide and sustain for you. Just like how Allah sustains for the birds. What is the condition of the birds? تَغْدُوا خِمَاسًا You find in the morning that bird leaves its nest. It has got an empty belly. It is hungry. But by the end of the day, when it returns home, its belly is full. It has satiated itself. Allah Ta'ala provided for that bird. Allah Ta'ala inspired that bird where to go. Made it such that suddenly the worm came out from here, some meal came out there. Some grains were here, some grains were there. By the end of the day, that bird returns home. Its stomach has been satiated. It has been full. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this quality of tawakkul and trusting in Him and trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So again, to remind ourselves that tawakkul in Allah, it does not mean that we do not use the means. In fact, it is part and parcel of tawakkul that a person uses whatever means is within his capacity. Whatever means is within his capacity, he uses it. Of course, there will always be different opinions, but whatever, he has taken advice from a certain security expert. And that security expert said, you look in this area here, you know, the For example, the beams don't really work. Or in this area here, the electric fencing doesn't really work because the criminals in this area had found a loophole. But this will work here and that will work. So now he looks at that, goes to that security expert and seeks counsel and advice from him. They say in Arabic, لِكُلِّ فَنِّن رِجَالٍ, that in every field you have got experts. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that in every field you have got experts. There's one famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where some sahaba ikram came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek advice with regards to farming. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them some advice. And thereafter, it turned out that that particular advice was not really working out as it should work out. They then returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but you know more about farming than what I know. So therefore, use the technique that you were previously using. In another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that that person who is not qualified in the field of medicine, and he gives someone advice with regards to medication and in the medical field, he will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. Today we find every single person has become a doctor and every single person has become a mufti. Everyone has become a doctor and every single person has become a mufti. Every person has got his field. We always say that if a person has got an electrical problem in the home, so he will go to the electrician. The person has got a plumbing problem in the home, he will go to the plumber. He won't go to the doctor to say, Doctor Saab, you know, there's a DB board in my kitchen that is giving me some problems. Could you please advise me? What prescription can you give me that I can sort the DB board out in my kitchen? Or he goes to Hazrat Mufti Saab and says, Mufti Saab, can you give me some advice in my kitchen? The DB board is giving me a problem. How can I resolve that problem? And if that Mufti Saab is to give advice with regards to the DB board and something goes wrong, that Mufti Saab can be held accountable. That Doctor Saab can be held accountable. If you're not qualified in the field of electrics, you don't know anything really much about electrical besides maybe putting one plug on or fixing a globe. You are a doctor, you work in the theater. That's your field. Why did you delve into the field that's beyond you? You haven't qualified in this field. In the same way, when it comes to our security issues, we should go to the security experts. When it comes to our medical issues, we should go to the doctors that we rely on. A person goes to that one particular doctor, stick to that doctor. If that doctor says that you do this here, do that there, don't worry about that, don't worry about this, person follows that. You go to your lawyer says, listen, this is how you should do things here, this document is important, don't worry about that document, get this document signed, make sure you got this here in order. Finish. A person follows that one lawyer and he doesn't fight with anyone else. He doesn't fight with anyone else. Look, I've chosen this particular person as a lawyer and I am following this particular person. You have chosen that individual as a lawyer. He feels that it should be done in this way. No problem. You are following him. That's his field. We don't know much about this field. So let us not dive into this here. So nevertheless, respected Alis and brothers, a person in whatever situation he is, he goes to those people who are experts in that particular field, seeks counsel and advice from them. And thereafter he says, Ya Allah, this advice that they have given me, I am using it. But my trust is in Allah and my trust is in Allah alone. Thereafter, a person resigns his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we term as rada bil qada. That a person now, he installed the tracking system in his car. He switched on the alarm. He parked his vehicle in a safer place. And despite all of that, his vehicle was stolen. Now this person will resign his will to the will of Allah. That Ya Allah, I did whatever was in my capacity. Whatever was within my capacity, I did it. And thereafter, Ya Allah, now you have decided that this vehicle must be stolen. You control the world. The world is under your control. The world doesn't go run according to my command. One wali of Allah, he was a very great saint. So he made a statement, and that statement when it was quoted, people said, hey, this statement is very dangerous. He said, the world is running according to my will. So people said that this statement is a statement of kufr, it's a statement of disbelief. So they went to the ulama. So one mufti said, why don't you call him and ask him what he meant? MashaAllah, there was some sense there. So this wali of Allah says, I'm very happy that this mufti asked for my side. So then he explained, he said, you see, I have resigned my will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now whatever Allah ta'ala's will is, because my will is resigned to Allah ta'ala's will, is as if the world is running according to my will. I said, oh, that's what he meant. So in other words, he meant that he had completely resigned his will to Allah Ta'ala's will. Hence the world was running, and he was satisfied with however this world was running. That is what we term as Rada bil Qada, that the person resigns his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, to clarify, now we have another person. This person has taken his vehicle, he left the keys inside, he left the windows open, he parked his vehicle in a very dangerous spot. He parked his vehicle in a very dangerous spot, and thereafter the vehicle got stolen. Now if this person has to turn around and says, you know, now I resign my will to the will of Allah, and this was taqdeer. No, the ulama will state to him that yes, it was taqdeer, but you are to be blamed for your recklessness. You are liable for your recklessness. That why didn't you take the necessary steps to protect yourself? One person came to a great alim by the name of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah ali. And he was in his 90s. So he came to Maulana, he says, Maulana, make dua, you know, I went through a divorce. She said, what happened? He said, no, I got married to this 25-year-old woman. He is 90, 95, somewhere around there. So he got married to a 25-year-old woman. So he said, I got married to a 25-year-old woman. It never worked out, it's taqdeer. So Hazrat told him that you do the silly things. You are 95-year-old and you get married to a 25-year-old. How can there ever be compatibility in that? So you do the foolish things. You are reckless in what you do. And then afterwards you turn around and you blame taqdeer. You should blame yourself for being reckless. That you're 95, you should look for someone that's your age. There'll be compatibility. So in the same way, the person didn't adopt any means of security in his home and his business in terms of his health. No security whatsoever. And then the person now suddenly, he doesn't look after his health. He eats any kind of food, not really keeping himself physically fit. Then he starts getting sugar diabetes and all of these things. As well as taqdeer, it's meant to happen. So now we say this person, yes, it was taqdeer. But don't blame taqdeer. You need to blame yourself for being reckless, for not looking after this amount of health that Allah Ta'ala has granted you. So therefore we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those who really trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we adopt whatever means we can adopt and we feel is necessary to adopt based on whatever expert advice we have received in whichever field it may be. We adopt whatever means and then we place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never trust the means. We trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because ultimately Allah is the one who protects. And if Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to protect you, you can have 10 layers of security, but that security will be of no avail whatsoever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not test us. May Allah Ta'ala bless us all with good health. Allah Ta'ala give us security and stability. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the condition in this country from insecurity to security, from instability to stability. And Allah Ta'ala blow the winds of hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi.